This one goes really deep and can be really very, very important. So we're going to conduct a test right now. Some of you have heard this test before. A young deacon stood before the congregation with a collar microphone, and he tapped on the microphone saying, "There's something wrong with this microphone," to which all of the good Catholics immediately responded, "And also with you." All right, they did hear it, John. The volume is loud enough. The story you have just heard is not a miracle story merely about the multiplication of food and the feeding of thousands. Its meaning is much deeper than that. It has a much greater meaning than that. Its meaning can be more personal to you than that. As many of you know, Father Richard Rohr is a Roman Catholic priest of the Franciscan Order who is an internationally known author and lecturer. And in one of his books, Great Themes of Scripture, which I recommend to you, Father Rohr brings an illuminating insight into the story of that miracle on a mountainside over 2,000 years ago. Father Rohr begins by pointing out that in that day, in that society, in that culture, men were important and women and children were not. Not for any politically correct reasons as in our culture, but because that was a fact. The men were the providers and the protectors of the families, and the men ran society. So they were the important ones. So Father Rohr concludes that when the author of the story wanted to communicate to the readers the importance of this large gathering, he said there were 5,000 men present. And there probably were. And Father Rohr concludes it probably was even a greater gathering, maybe three times as many as that, for this reason. In those days, if a man traveled, he traveled on foot or on a beast of burden. So if he left his home, walked through the village, walked through the outskirts of the town, walked out to the mountains, up a mountainside, sat down, settled himself, waited for the speaker, heard the speaker, and then walked down the mountain, back to the outskirts, through the outskirts, back into the town, that probably was an all-day trip. And in those days, if a man were to leave his family all day, he would not leave them home alone. That would be dangerous. That would be foolhardy. That would expose them to danger, because that was in a time before the construction of impregnable homes. There were no highly trained and equipped law enforcement agencies. There were no home security systems. So Father concludes a man would not have left his family home alone. He would have taken them with him. Now, if he took the families with him, took his family with him, then they would have brought food with them. There weren't any fast food restaurants on the way, no grocery stores. So now Father says, get this picture. There may be as many as 15,000 people settled on the side of that mountain. And, he said, if they had food with them, they would not have exposed it to a crowd of people they didn't know. That would have been foolhardy. Just like in our society, you got money in your wallet right now, and you have money in your purse. If you're at a convention or if you're at an international airport, you don't expose that money to people. That would be dangerous. You keep it hidden away. So Father concludes, these people were all sitting around. They all had food, perhaps, and it was hidden away in their tunics, in their bags. Now, he said, with that picture in mind, one of two things may have happened. The first is this. When Jesus saw that the people were growing hungry, out of his compassion and his love for the people, he may very well have decided to use his own personal divine power, and indeed supernaturally, multiplied the amount of food that his companions had so that it would feed the crowd. That may have happened, Father Rohr says. Or a second scenario may have happened. When Jesus sensed that the crowd were growing hungry, out of his love and compassion, he simply turned to his companions and said, look, take what we have and share it as much as you can with the people. And, he says, when the people saw that going on, that may have moved them to compassion and love for one another. They may have relaxed and opened their tunics and opened their bags and shared the food one with another until all were fully fed with 12 baskets left over. And Father Rohr continues, you can believe either version, because he said, this is not a story. This is not a miracle story about the miraculous multiplication of food and the feeding of thousands, but rather, this is a miracle story about the miraculous power of love. Father Bob Hunt was also a notable priest, lecturer, and author. And he writes about love in his book, Love is the Target. Father Hunt starts by examining sin. He says sin is an evil force within you, part of the human condition. And sin, he says, if allowed to dominate your life, can destroy you. And we know that's true. We see that in the lives of people in public life all the time. And we know what happens in private life all the time. Father Hunt goes on to say, also in you, within you, is another power given to you by God, and that is the power of love. And that is a power greater than the power of sin. The power of love within you can overcome and control the force of sin. And here's how that works, he says. You were born for one reason, to love. There is no reason for your existence other than to love. You are on this planet for only one reason, to love. You're not here to feed the hungry. You're not here to clothe the naked. But of course, he quickly follows up with, if you know somebody that you love and you discover they're hungry, your love for them will move you to feed them. If you love somebody and you know that they haven't got sufficient clothing to protect themselves from the elements, your love for them will move you to clothe them. That's the power of love. And the only reason you're here is to love. So Father says it works this way. When you're kind, that's love. When you're unkind, that's failure to love. When you're considerate of others, that's love. When you're inconsiderate, that's failure to love. When you're open and giving and generous, that's love. When you're closed and self-centered and grasping and selfish, that's failure to love. When you gossip about others and cut them down, even if they deserve it, that's failure to love. When you build people up, that's love. When you're self-righteous, your opinion is the only one that counts. You always got to win every argument. That's failure to love. When you're considerate of others and respectful of their opinion, that's love. So you have actions of love and failures to love. Actions of love is a power within you, and it is the power that actually brings about within you the absence of sin. Failure to love is a power that brings about the presence of sin. Actions of love, absence of sin. Failure to love, presence of sin. And sin, if allowed to dominate you, can destroy you.